Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store. Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And y'all, we are still trying to figure out this fucking mic situation. I hope this sounds good and that we are approximately the same volume.
Send help.
Yeah. Yeah, if you know anything about an app called Voice Meter and hooking up two microphones in an intelligent way, let me know. Hit me up. I would love to know. Struggling, you guys.
Send Dusty a fucking gold star, because I am no help.
So, before we get into this week's episode, I didn't get to finish telling you guys my tooth dream story from the last episode. I was listening back to it as I was editing, and I think we got briefly interrupted, and so I just lost my train of thought, and we went right back into the notes, and I never finished telling you about my tooth story. That's what the random elevator music was me being like, technical difficulties, and we're back. Except it was actually mental difficulties, like distraction.
It happens.
So there was this grocery store, right? And there was a dentist in the back of the grocery store. And we walk to the dentist's, like, the receptionist, right? And my boyfriend was with me, and he said, like, oh, I'm here for an appointment. And I'm like, cool, cool, cool. I'm just gonna, like, sit and hang out while he's getting his teeth worked on, right? And I look down, and I'm like, oh. And I, like, just, like, spit, not just my teeth, but, like, portions of my jawbone with it. Like, it was like my whole face was cracking and crumbling and coming apart. And I, like, spit it into my hand, and the receptionist just looks at me, and she's like, oh, that is interesting. And they're like, so we're gonna take you back for your appointment now, to my boyfriend. And I'm sitting up front, like, still spitting out more and more pieces of tooth and jaw and, like, big chunks, like 5 or 6 teeth all together, like one unit, like a corn, like when you eat corn and it's like all together, you know? And I just keep spitting more and more, and, like, there's blood and saliva in it. And they're just like, oh, yeah, have a seat, ma'am. Like, well,
can you just shut up and sit down?
We'll be with you in a moment.
Spit in this cup.
And then I woke up. So that's my teeth crumbling dream, except it was, like, way gorier.
I've never heard teeth described as corn before.
I mean, sometimes it do be like that.
I mean, I can't unsee it.
That's how they sometimes teach little kiddos to brush their teeth.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. We watched a Sesame Street video and an episode of Ryan's World.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back to this episode. we're doing a cryptid episode today, mythical beast style. You know, we explored some mythology when we were talking about our Halloween episode, and there may have been one other one where we were talking about not necessarily a modern cryptid, but cryptids going back into mythology, like unicorns and stuff like that. So, yeah.
I'm just thinking about the text I sent you the other day when I asked you if you had listened to the Wonderland Murders episode of Morbid.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't listened to the Wonderland Murders episodes of Morbid, you should go check that out. It's real interesting.
It really, really is. Did you listen to it?
Yes.
Did you Google the guy's dick?
I did not.
He is a cryptid.
He's a cryptid.
Part man, part horse. That is not a human dick.
Johnny Wadd, if you're wondering.
Was it Johnny Wadd?
Johnny Wadd.
I don't think it was him.
No, it was Johnny Wadd, dude. I, like, just listened to it. Did you Google someone else?
Whose dick did I look at?
Asking the real question.
Sorry, I'm trying to figure out whose dick I looked at. Oh, John Holmes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just not looking at the stage name.
He definitely has the porn stash. didn't realize I was on YouTube. I thought I was in Google.
You do not want action shots of his horse dick.
I do not want video, no. I'm not gonna look. But that I was correct. It was Johnny Wadd. Moving on.
Anyway, he's an old school cryptid.
Old school cryptid. This was another listener request, so feel free to send those in because we will do them. Today's episode is about the Avanc slash Edenk.
You know. Aflac.
You know, Welsh mythology and Welsh language in general. There's a lot going on there. I'm gonna apologize in advance for mispronouncing, like, everything. Normally, if there's some tricky words coming up or words relating to a certain place or person that I may not know how to pronounce, I will Google how to pronounce it. There are so many words in this that I quite literally could not Google all of them. Like, I don't have that much time, you guys.
Just say it confidently, you're fine.
So, if you speak Welsh or you do know how to properly pronounce these things, I'd like to apologize in advance. And feel free to send me a message and tell me how I should have said it, and I will try and fix it. So, I'm going to say the Avanc, because that is the pronunciation that I heard the most often. And just so you guys are aware, there's different spellings. There's A-V-A-N-C, A-F-A-N-C, and A-D-D-A-N-C. So they all are used sort of interchangeably to refer to this cryptid. So let's talk about it.
Tell me.
First off, it's not a bird.
I need warning. I need a trigger warning if it's a bird.
It's not a bird. There's not even any bird parts.
Hell yeah.
There might be later in the episode, but right now, no.
Okay.
So first off, the Avanc is a lake monster from Welsh mythology. Its exact description varies. It is described variously as resembling a crocodile, beaver, or dwarf-like creature.
Those are all very, very different.
Right? Sometimes a platypus, and it's also sometimes said to be a daemon.
It's a daemon.
A daemon.
Probably.
The lake in which it dwells also varies. It is variously said to live in Lyn Lion, Lyn Barfog, near Bryn Berrien Bridge, or in Lyn Yr Avanc, a lake near Betsycoed that was named after the creature.
Is that where Lake Lanier comes from?
Maybe.
Huh.
I don't know. In some tales of the beast, it is said to have the body of a beaver, the head of a crocodile, and the webbed feet of a platypus. Sort of an amalgamation, if you will. Some stories also have it the other way around, with the body of a crocodile and the head of a beaver, and I just find that so much more hilarious. Like, just imagine big old alligator crocodile body. Like a beaver head. Just think about it. It's good
stuff. That's amazing.
There are some really cool drawings and stuff like that on Google if you search Avanc. There's some where, like, a crocodile wearing armor and, like, carrying a, you know, halberd or something like that. It was pretty cool. Yeah, most often described as, like, crocodile-beaver combo.
Animals I would not expect to put together.
No. It solely lives in the water, usually lakes, as I just mentioned a moment ago. It got a nasty reputation for allegedly devouring anyone who was foolish enough to wade into, fall into, or dare I say, swim in its waters.
And that, my friends, is why you don't get in fucking large bodies of water, especially where you can't see the bottom.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, but large bodies of water is pretty fucking spooky.
Not my thing.
In some legends, the agitated Avanc would also thrash about in its water so violently that it would cause flooding through the streets of Britain, drowning all but two lone humans from whom all other Britons supposedly descended. Again, we're going into mythology, so you sort of have that folklore there of, well, how did all of the people on the planet come to be? And they were like, well, there was this huge fucking flood because of this beaver crocodile thing.
He did a death roll and drowned everyone.
Everyone, except for, I can't remember their names, but it was, you know, a man and a woman in the story. And then, you know, they repopulated the earth, basically.
They're over here like, we all fucking inbred.
Yep.
I mean, according to most mythology, we're all inbred, so.
Yeah. It is said that the creature's hide was so tough that no spear, arrow, or man-made weapon could pierce its skin. Many attempts had been made to kill the beast, but they had all been unsuccessful.
You know, kill the beast.
Yeah. I mean, which is sort of sort of the issue. You could just stay the fuck away from the lake.
Yeah. I mean, so far he hasn't climbed out of the water, so...
Right, there's the thrashing, which is causing floods. That's a problem, I get that.
But that's only if you piss him off, so just stay out of his lake.
And I'm not saying, like, we have places here in the United States, and there's some places in, I don't know, Italy, too, where flooding is a bit of a problem, and people have just built the infrastructure around it, and they keep living there.
Instead of getting out of the swamp?
Maybe.
Get out of the swamp,
because
donkey.
It's my swamp. There are also writings which indicate that the Evenk could change its shape or sort of turn into water, depending on some things I read.
Nope.
It was a slippery beast, to be sure. They knew that they couldn't go into the water to capture or kill it because that was its domain. That's where it would be the most deadly, and they already know they can't pierce its skin, so of course they had to try and get it out of the water to kill it. Oh, and one more thing. They believed that the Evenk was magical and spoke Welsh and could only be defeated by magic.
Okay.
Yeah. They believed that since it was a water-dwelling... They believed that since it was a water-dwelling creature, that it would have to be defeated by the elements of fire and or air.
Makes sense.
Like opposite of water, right?
Yeah. Make it boil.
Yeah. Now, as with all hellish beasts, there has to be a weakness. And the Evenk is no different. According to legend, the Evenk could be lured out of the water by a fair maiden.
Oh, he likes a sexy bitch.
If you get a pretty girl up in there, all your troubles are just done.
I wonder what this animal's type is. What does he consider a fair maiden?
Right, exactly. Especially because we're talking 15th century, King Arthur type shit.
Hairy armpits, unwashed coochie, got it.
People throwing their poop in the streets.
Look out below. That's why the man walks on the outside. Not just because you're by the road and you might get hit by a car, but because of where people threw their shit. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why the dude's supposed to walk closest to the road, like, to be gentlemanly or whatever.
The more you know.
Yeah.
If the creature then fell asleep with its head upon the maiden's lap, it would be completely vulnerable and this would be the time to capture or kill it.
That's terrible. He just wants to snuggle a hot bitch and lay his head in her lap while he strokes his beaver head.
It do be like that. So...
Or crocodile head with beaver body, I don't know.
You know, whichever kind of head you prefer. Crocodile, beaver, platypus.
I like the crocodile with the beaver head.
Yeah, it's much cuter.
It's like a Pokemon hybrid.
Beavers be all haunchy, too.
True.
So I'm like, would the crocodile head beaver body really work? Like, I feel like you would have to at least stretch out the beaver body. Make it the length of an alligator or
but
a crocodile.
Like a fucking train car ass.
Just a dump truck ass.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Train car's not it.
You can make a new one that's train car. There could be
the
levels
caboose.
To it.
That's what I was looking for. The caboose.
You got, like, a cute little caboose. You got a flat pancake first. And then you got a cute caboose. And you got peach. And you got cake. And you got... thick with two C's, and then you got dump truck, and then train car.
AKA Caboose Part 2.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a couple of stories of the Evenk, especially stories involving people trying to kill it. I labeled this section in my notes, assassination attempts.
I love the word assassination.
Ass-ass-ination.
Ass-ass-ination.
There is the story of the River of Conwy, where the people lived mostly in peace. But unfortunately, they were plagued by constant flooding, which ruined their crops and killed their livestock. They all knew that the floods were caused by the Evenk.
You don't want an overwatered garden, it's true.
That's true. So, of course, the humans of the nearby village being terrified of this creature in the lake, they concoct a plan to bring about its demise. The villagers' plan is to get the maiden down to the lake and for her to lure the Evenk out. Once she's done that and the beast is asleep, they would wrap it with heavy chains attached to their oxen. Remember, it's old-timey. No cars. No trains. Oxen.
Oxen.
Yeah. Once the coast is clear, they drag the Evenk away from the water so it cannot escape and relocate it to a lake very far from the village. Remember, they were under the impression it could not be killed. They didn't have magic. None of their weapons could pierce its skin. So this was their best bet, was just relocate. Just transplant this Avank.
We're gonna find you a new swamp.
Yeah.
Get out of my swamp.
Yeah, exactly. So that was their plan. But as we all know, things don't always go according to plan. Now, they really tried, y'all. I gotta hand it to them. They got the finest blacksmith in all the land to forge the chains with which to bind the beast. They summoned a man named Hugarden and his two long-horned oxen, the strongest oxen in all the land. And then, the final piece of the puzzle. A beautiful maiden who would be both visually stunning enough, and brave enough, and cunning enough to lure the beast from its home and trick it into falling asleep on her lap.
On her lap?
On her lap.
Like, just its head or its whole
just
body?
Just its head.
Oh, I was like, does it fucking shrink down? Because that sounds even cuter.
It's not going to be cute.
I know. It's going to fuck some shit up.
This is the Eldritch Estate.
And maybe have bird parts. I'm aware.
Apparently, the daughter of a local farmer was the only one up to the task. Once the preparations had been made, they all set off towards the lake to carry out their task. The girl approached the lake while the other men hid nearby. Standing at the edge of the water, she called out softly to the Avank. The waters began to tremble mightily, and from the depths of the lake, the monster's huge head appeared. Resisting the urge to turn and run away, the girl began to sing a sweet Welsh lullaby to the creature. The Avank emerged from the water and came to rest its head on the girl's lap. Within moments, it was fast asleep.
Why can't we just let him have a nice nap and leave it at that?
Because he's killing people, and he's ruining the crops, and he's killing the livestock.
Yeah.
I know. Hug a cryptid.
Hug a cryptid.
We always tend to sympathize with the cryptid. We're like, he's just misunderstood. Carefully, the girl gestured to the men, and they crept closer and began to bind the beast with their chains. They hitched the chains to the mighty oxen. Suddenly, the Avank stirred. It opened its black eyes and became enraged when it realized it had been tricked. It began to thrash about, retreating back to the water. In one version of this story, its thrashings crushed the girl whose lap it still lay upon as it awoke.
Ugh.
I mean, he do be big.
He said, fuck around and find out.
Yep. Exactly.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Facts. Now, as the story goes, it managed to slip through a few of the chains, but it could not break through them. By a stroke of luck, some of the chains held tight, and the oxen began to pull against the creature. The oxen strained against the strength of the mighty Avank, but slowly they dragged it from the water and began to pull it northward up the road to the Lake of the Blue Fountain. In one version of the legend, one of the oxen pulled so hard that it lost an eye. The story goes that the tears the oxen shed along the trail became known as the Pool of the Oxen's Eye.
Aww.
When they finally reached the summit, the chains were loosened and the Avank dove straight to the bottom of the Lake of the Blue Fountain, where it would live forevermore.
Poor ox.
I know, it's sad.
He didn't sign up for that.
No, he didn't.
Give him his eyeball back.
Seriously. You will find this a lot, though, in certain folklore, that there'll be a place named something, and you're like, huh, that's a fucking weird name. Why is this place called the Pool of the Oxen's Eye? And somebody somewhere will be like, oh, well, actually, there's a story to go along with that, and they'll explain it.
I want to know the, like, history of the, like, the story behind some of the names of Arizona roads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, driving past somewhere, and you're like, Blood River. Oh.
Montezuma's Revenge.
Okay, that's what happens when you drink the water in Mexico.
There is a place in Arizona, it's not called Montezuma's Revenge, but it's called Montezuma's something, and it sounds dark. I wish I could remember what it is. It's castle? On the way up to Flagstaff. The castle is there too, but I thought there was something else. But anyway, one of my favorite folklore legends to explain something that's naturally occurring is the story of the Giant's Causeway from Ireland. So, the Giant's Causeway is a real place in Ireland and in Scotland, where there are these hexagon-shaped stones, and they fit together like a honeycomb, and they're rising up out of the sea, and there's, like, different levels to them, and they just sort of go off into the ocean. And the story goes that they used to form a bridge between Scotland and Ireland, built by giants.
They don't know how this thing showed up. I just Googled it.
Mm-hmm. It's just there.
Aliens.
Or giants.
It's like fucking Stonehenge.
Giant aliens. Yeah, it is like Stonehenge.
We need to do an episode
on Stonehenge. If you want to do an episode, we're definitely doing an episode on Stonehenge, but if you want me to include stuff about the Giant's Causeway in there, I can, because yes. I actually teach a whole lesson on it, and I would love to tell the story.
I'm so in. Joint research.
Yeah. And we can go for our boba date, too.
Dude, yes. I keep seeing people on Instagram eating. Well, I mean, kind of eating. Drinking boba.
Yeah.
And I need it. Sounds wonderful.
Okay. So that was just one tale of how the Evank was vanquished. The Evank was vanquished. I've got another. In this tale, Peredur, the son of Efrog. Efrog? Translated by Lady Charlotte Guest in the oh my god, you guys. Mabinogion. Taken from the White Book of Riddersh and the Red Book of Hergest, the Edank of the Lake resides in the cave near the Palace of the Sons of the King of the Tortures.
Whew.
That reminds me of another song. There's this ridiculous song that I teach sometime, and it's like, oh, the ladies of the Palace of the Court of King Caradocus are just passing by. Oh, the faces of the ladies of the Palace of the Court of King Caradocus. It just keeps going. It gets all the way down to the powder on the noses on the faces of the ladies of the Palace of the Court of King Caradocus. Good times, good times.
It's like the hole in the bog.
It is.
Yeah.
The Ratlin Bog.
Yes.
My choir is singing that right now, and it's a hoot.
I love everything about that.
It's great. Okay, but enough about me music teaching and stuff like that. The Palace of the Sons of the King of the Tortures is so named because the Evank slays the three sons, also known as chieftains, of the king each day, only for them to be resurrected by the maidens of the court. So we have this perpetual
murder
cycle going on, right? Like, they get killed by the Evank every day, and the maidens resurrect them over and over, every single day. This is just the routine, right?
That sounds fucking exhausting.
Right? It's not stated why this cycle of violence continues, but Peredur comes and he asks to ride with the three chieftains who seek out the Evank daily. Like, they go, try to kill it, it kills them, the maidens resurrect them. And Peredur's like, well, can I come? And they said, no, because if you get slain, we're not able to bring you back to life. So you can't come. Fuck off.
Peredur, sounds like being the youngest child.
Yeah, it's like the little brother. Peredur continues to the cave on his own, wishing to kill the creature to increase his fame and honor. On his journey, he meets a maiden who states that the Evank will slay Peredur through cunning, as the beast is invisible and kills his victim with poison darts.
Okay.
So now not only we got a beaver-alligator hybrid living in the lake, but now it can turn invisible and it shoots poison darts.
Not only is he an interior crocodile alligator.
Exactly.
He also drives a Chevrolet movie theater.
The maiden was actually the queen of Constantinople in disguise. And she gives Peredur an adder stone that will make the creature visible. She was just posted up outside the cave, ready for this shit to go down.
Just a-waiting.
Exactly. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. Peredur ventures into the cave with the aid of the stone, and pierces the Evank before beheading it. When the three chieftains arrive at the cave, they state that it was predicted that Peredur would kill the Evank. They were like, ah, yes, as the prophecy foretold. And he was like, bitch, you wouldn't let me ride along. What the fuck?
If you knew, why didn't you let
exactly.
me do
it? Exactly. And then in the most popular version of the tale, the beast was slain by none other than King Arthur. Because King Arthur did everything back in the day, you know.
One of the many King Arthurs.
Exactly. Some legends ascribe the creature's death to King Arthur. Close to Lynbar Fog in Snowdonia is a hoofprint petrosomataglyph. Which basically means, like, an imprint in the stone.
Like a hieroglyph.
Like a hieroglyph. but not necessarily like a drawing that was put there on purpose, but something like a dinosaur footprint. Like, it's just there. It was etched deep in the rock, Carn Mark Arthur, or Stone of Arthur's Horse. And the mark was supposedly made by King Arthur's mount, Lamre, when it was hauling the Ivanc from the lake. So there's this big hoof print, kind of with like a drag mark through it, like the horse was straining to pull the Ivanc from the lake. And it's been grooved into the rock by the force of the horse pulling.
Damn.
But the horse didn't lose its eye, so.
Must have been a big fucking horse.
Who's to say? Exactly. Other legends claim that the Ivanc is still alive and well, living deep in the waters of Lake Finn. And according to one other version of the myth, also put forth by Iolo Morgan, who Gadarn's oxen dragged the Ivanc out of the lake. Once it was out of the water, it was powerless and could be killed. This version locates the creature in Lin Lion. And that's actually all that I could find about the Ivanc itself. Now, while I was looking, I also came across some other cool creatures from Welsh mythology, so just for fun, I'm going to tell you about those too.
I can't wait to hear it.
And as I stated before, a lot of these have very difficult names. A lot of these also have words with absolutely no vowel in them, so I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'm going to help you try.
This word is L-L-W-C-H. How would you pronounce that?
I need to look at it.
Please weigh in. Dear audience.
Lwitch. I'm putting an eye on
it. Lwitch, there you go. The Adar Lwitch Gwyn. According to Welsh tradition, the Adar Lwitch Gwyn were giant birds, similar in kind to the griffin, which were given to a warrior named Drudus ap Triffin by his fairy wife. The name derives from the Welsh words Lwitch, which means dust, and Gwyn, which means wine.
Yeah, see, I think our pronunciation is pretty spot on.
I think so. These birds were said to understand human speech and to obey whatever command was given to them by their master.
Motherfucker, nope.
I know, I said there wasn't going to be birds in the first cryptid after the Ivanc. Birds, motherfucker.
Come out.
However, on one occasion, when Drudwas was about to do battle with the hero Arthur, he commanded them to kill the first man to enter the battle. Arthur himself was delayed, and so the birds immediately turned on Drudwas and tore him to pieces.
Now, do y'all find it suspicious that these birds understand human language?
And supposedly would do anything for their master.
Like they were programmed.
And they did. They followed their programming. He said, kill the first man to enter the battle. And then he was first, so he got killed.
God done did.
Later, in medieval Welsh poetry, the phrase Adar Lwych Gwyn came to describe all kinds of raptors, including hawks, falcons, and, on occasion, brave men. These are all really short, by the way. I'm just going
to
blaze through these.
I don't know that I want to be described by anyone as a brave bird.
A brave man. Didn't I say brave man?
Yes.
Brave man.
He's being described as a bird.
Who? What? The Adar Lwych Gwyn were giant birds, like a griffin.
Yeah, which
And then all kinds of raptors, including hawks, falcons, and some type of brave men. I gotcha.
I don't want to be a bird. I don't want anyone to describe me as a bird in the next life.
Okay, everyone, you heard it here. Don't call Katie a bird.
Okay, but I do kill her peacock impression.
We've been through this.
We've been there. I did it at the store the other day. And someone thought it was me laughing from the front of the store. They thought that I was like, you bitch, you thought that was my laugh?
Rude.
And then I cackled about it and was like, no, I can totally see how you thought it was my laugh.
Next up we have the Sethel Dwyer.
Again, no vowel.
No vowel. D-W-R.
And the W has like a tch on the top.
Yeah. Well, in music that would be a marcato. It looks like a little house top. A little house top on top of the W.
It's very cute on top
of
the W.
It is cute. It's kind of short, and I'm a little obsessed with it. Instant pack bond.
Yep.
In Welsh folklore, a Sethel Dwyer is a water horse similar to the Kelpie. The water horse is known in the traditions of many countries. In Wales, he's called the Sethel Dwyer, and although he has no wings, he's able to fly. He may be seen above a pool or waterfall, or occasionally grazing on the bank. He sometimes allows himself to be caught and mounted, but he is full of pranks and delights in tossing his rider to the ground.
Do they die? Oh, I'm excited for this next word.
Sowry. Kowry. Kewry. I like Kewry.
Kewry sounds cute.
Giants, such as... Oh, God.
That's the one I was talking about.
Yzbadaden Ben-Kar from Coolwich and Olwyn, and Bendigeidfriend from the four branches of the Mabinogi. So giants, that's all I got for that one.
Fucking giants.
Fucking giants, bro. And the Coblin Owl. The Coblin Owl.
A gnome-like creature. I think it could make that sound.
Yeah, they are mythical gnome-like creatures that are said to haunt the mines and quarries of Wales. They are said to be about half a yard tall, or 1.5 feet, and very ugly. Harsh.
Rude.
Whoever writes these, no manners.
Okay, but it's that one guy.
Oh yeah, from
our other cryptid episode.
I think it was the Halloween cryptid episode, and like every fucking book was written by him.
Yes. I think Halloween and our Christmas cryptids.
Yeah, that sounds right. Like knockers, they are dressed in miniature mining outfits.
That's not what my knockers are dressed in.
They work constantly, but never finish their task, and are said to be able to cause rock slides.
Fuck, am I one of these things?
Can I also just mention that, like, pretty much all of these bad news bears, the Avank is going to either devour you whole or flood your Drown whole fucking ass. Life. The weird-ass birds will turn on you in a second and rip you apart. The horse, not too bad, but he's definitely going to throw you on the ground. Giants, it didn't say anything either way about them, you know? The giants are still up for debate.
They just are.
And then ugly gnome-like creatures that cause rock slides.
That don't finish their tasks.
They don't finish their tasks.
That's probably what my boss thinks about me.
I was going to say, they would be terrible at Among Us. The Twin Anwin. Twin Anwin. Anwin.
It's like an elf.
Yeah. In Welsh mythology and folklore, these were spectral hounds of Anwin, the other world of Welsh myth. So like a hellhound.
Okay.
They were associated with a form of the Wild Hunt, presided over by Gwyn ap Nudd, other than Aran, king of Anwin, in the first branch of the Mabinogi. Christians came to dub these mythical creatures as the Hounds of Hell, or Dogs of Hell, and theorized that they were therefore owned by Satan. However, the Anwin of medieval Welsh tradition is an otherworldly paradise, and not a hell or abode of dead souls. In Wales, they were associated with migrating geese, supposedly because their honking in the night is reminiscent of barking dogs.
Nope.
So they'd just hear the geese going by, and they'd be like, aye, there's the hellhounds.
I mean, I would be more scared of a goose than I would be a hellhound, to be honest with you.
Yeah, geese be aggressive.
They have teeth!
That's fucking...
The number of birds with teeth fuck me up. Google right. Bird teeth.
Because your entire life you're taught that it has a beak, not teeth. And then you find out the fucker has both.
Yep.
Lies.
Not only do you have a sharp, stabby dagger on your face, it's also full of razor blades. You're basically a prison instrument.
A shank.
A shiv.
They're supposed to hunt on specific nights, namely the eves of St. John, St. Martin, St. Michael the Archangel, All Saints, Christmas, New Year's, St. Agnes, St. David, and Good Friday.
And Good Friday.
Or just in the summer, or the autumn and the winter. So, you know, all these holidays are, you know, just the cold part of the year.
Yeah.
Some say Aran only hunts from Christmas to Twelfth Night. The Sin Anwin also came to be regarded as the escorts of souls on their journey to the other world.
And not in the sexy way.
More of the, like, ferryman ferrying the souls down the River Styx type of way.
Word.
The Coronaid. The Coronaid.
Sounds like a kitchen tool.
Yeah, the Coronaid.
This is my KitchenAid.
It aids you in coroning. Corn? Corn on the cob?
Corn.
Corn.
Teeth. Teeth corn.
Teeth corn. Brush your corn.
Brush your corn.
Put some toothpaste on that fucking corn.
Brush it.
The Cornaid are a race of beings from Welsh I can't say Welsh mythology anymore. Melf wishology.
Remix.
Welsh mythology. They appear in the Middle Welsh prose tale Lludd and Llefelys, which survives in the Mabinogion and inserted into several texts of the Brut and Brenhinid. I'm so sorry, you guys. There's a lot of letters to begin with, and
she's doing. I'm looking at these words, and she's
hardly
doing
any hardly doing any so vowels. A Welsh adaptation of Geoffrey of Monmouth's Historia Regum Britanniae. They also
You can do this.
The Cornaid figure in the tale is one of three plagues that affected Britain during the reign of King Lludd. They are characterized by a sense of hearing so acute that they can hear any word the wind touches, making action against them impossible.
Like that girl from Encanto.
Exactly. Cousin Dolores.
She can always hear you sort of muttering and mumbling.
I can always hear him sort of muttering and mumbling. And then there's the part in The Family Madrigal where she's like, my cousin Dolores can hear this whole chorus a mile away, or something like that.
Word.
Okay, this one is... Give me a minute, guys.
I'm gonna say those first three letters is like a ch sound.
Like a ch?
Ch.
C-Y-H-Y-R-A-E-T-H. Kraith.
Is that the spelling of...
You just, in the back of your throat, just... Also spelled as Kiraith, probably from the noun kir, muscle, tendon, or flesh, plus the termination eighth, meaning skeleton, a thing of mere flesh and bone, or specter, death portent. Wraith is a ghostly spirit in Welsh mythology, a disembodied moaning voice that sounds before a person's death.
So that's how you pronounce it, is with a disembodied moaning voice.
Woo!
That's how you say this one.
So, legends associate the woo with the area around the river Twee? I'm gonna go with Twee.
Twee sounds cute.
In eastern Dyfed, as well as the coast of Glamorganshire.
I want to live in Glamorganshire.
Glamorganshire.
I love that it begins with glam.
The noise is said to be, quote, doleful and disagreeable.
Like bananas you don't like.
Like the groans and sighs of someone deathly ill.
No.
And to sound three times, growing weaker and fainter each time, as a threefold warning before the person expires. Along the Glamorganshire coast, the woo is said to be heard before a shipwreck, accompanied by a corpse light.
Fuck.
That's
first
spooky.
Of all, hate the ocean. Terrified. I don't want to hear disembodied wails of someone severely ill before my shipwrecks.
Well, can you imagine being on the ship, or even just maybe somebody who works in a lighthouse or on the shore or something, and you suddenly hear this because it would be a shipwreck, meaning everyone in the ship. So you hear like this fucking chorus of ghost moans, and you're just like, what's that? And then boom, shipwreck.
A shipwreck has to sound so much worse than a crashing car, and I still, like, sometimes that sound, like, jump scares me awake at night.
Ugh, I hate that sound.
Yep. Yep.
I hate it. Katie and I have both, unfortunately, been in car accidents.
Dusty's wasn't her fault. I'm a bad driver. But that, like, crunchy, crispy metal sound is...
It's so scary.
It's awful.
And it does. It lives in your head forever, and so you can hear it in your head no matter what. I actually had a person try to merge into my vehicle today, and I was hearing the sound, and I just laid on my horn like, my car is here! Do not merge into it! And they didn't, and I was okay, and everything was fine.
They're over there in their car like, May!
merge!
Yeah.
You'll never be ready, merge!
And then it took probably 30 to 40 minutes for my adrenaline and cortisol spike to totally go away.
It's hard.
It is. Alright, so like the Irish Banshee and the Scottish Caleach, to which the and the Grosh y Ribbon are closely related, the also sounds for Welsh natives living and dying far from home. So you ain't even gotta be in Wales anymore for this spooky bitch to be singing your death song.
Oh, she's over here like, just wanted to let you know I'm sending you a nasty gram.
I know you live in Philly now, but woo, motherfucker. I don't know why that's just stupid. Alright, I'm not gonna try and say this one because it's actually just a translation for the devil. The devil, who has said to appear, or who was said to have built various bridges in Wales, including Devil's Bridge, Ceredigion, or Digion, and to appear to sinners in the form of a horned, black-faced shepherd leading a pack of dogs. Sometimes associated with the bob-tailed black sow known as Irwich du Gwta.
That was really impressive, bro.
Thank you. Alright, we got a few more here. You know, just a small sampling of Welsh cryptids and
a charcuterie
of Welsh mythology, if you will.
Nice charcuterie for you.
Nice charcuterie for you. Gwydnod, or witches, were old women who could cast spells over people and animals, ride broomsticks through the air, tell fortunes, and use charms to heal and cause diseases.
I feel seen.
Right? Goals.
Honestly.
They could take the form of a hare and could only be killed with a silver bullet.
A hare like a pig, not a hare. Or a pig?
That's that pregnancy brain.
A hare like a bunny.
Like a bunny. They could turn
How did
into
I even
a,
get to a pig?
I don't know. I really don't. They could turn into a bunny, y'all.
Not like a hare on your head.
Right. That would be cool, though. Just turn into a single piece of hair and just like whoosh, float away in the wind.
Bitch be gone.
Sayonara, motherfucker.
And not a pig.
Only Yidin Hisbis, the wise man, could undo the harm that they caused.
Yidin this bitch.
Yeah. This bitch right here.
This bitch can undo the harm, so.
It said that. It did say that. Heal or cause diseases. Then we have the Draigyao, dragons. The most famous being Ydrak Gosh, which we could do a whole episode on, I'm sure. And then Yidin Hisbis, the wise man that we were just talking about a moment ago. Or a wizard. They could also be clerics, men who learned about medicine and black magic from books, and those who claimed to inherit power from their families and could thus see the future. Particularly on an Isbridnos, and give charms to ward off evil.
Tell me why you just gave the most mysterious description of a doctor. Like, also, inherits the power from their family. Like, yeah, if you want to pay for fucking medical school to be a doctor, you're gonna have to inherit some power from your family.
That is absolutely true. The Isbridnos is considered to be the spirit night, when spirits are out and about and divination is possible. In case you were wondering.
Noted.
That's when they could mostly see the future the best. Okay, I have a little bit more on this one, because this one was interesting, so I did a little more research, but don't be mad at me, it's cool. The Gwilgi, a large black dog that haunts lonely roads. It is a mythical dog from Wales that appears as a frightful apparition of a mastiff or black wolf, similar to a dire wolf, with baleful breath and blazing red eyes.
What is baleful?
Baleful. It's bad.
Rank as shit.
Threatening. Harm. Menacing.
Menacing breath.
Menacing
breath. I'm
about
to describe some people like that in my life. Bitch has menacing breath.
Dad halitosis, though.
Baleful.
It is often referred to as the Dog of Darkness or the Black Hound of Destiny, and it will appear to individuals at dark. the apparition's favorite haunt being lonely roads at night. If seen on one of these strolls, it is said to be an omen of a terrible death. So you see why I had to do more research, because it's kind of like the Grimm from Harry Potter.
Yep.
Wyllian, a kind of spirit. Wyllian is a Welsh word with a wide range of possible meanings, including ghosts, spirits, and night wanderers, human or supernatural. Up to no good, outlaws of the wild.
These fucking hood rat ass bitches.
According to folklorist Wirt Sykes, the Gwyllion are female fairies of frightful aspect who haunt lonely roads in the Welsh mountains and lead travelers astray. That's fucking terrifying.
I don't want to be anywhere where I don't know where I am and be, well, I mean, obviously you're lost if you don't know where you are, but.
Right. But they're like, but the siren.
To be somewhere foreign and then be lost is, yeah, so fucking, like, I got lost in LAX one time.
Ooh.
Real scary.
Real scary.
I had to go up to a complete stranger and be like, how do I get to my gate? Oh. I've never flown without my mom. Except I was like, I don't know, 23.
You know. To
make this story embarrassing.
You know, the first time you do something on your own without your mom, it can be difficult. It can be scary. It can be hard.
It's true. Ask any kid making their first doctor's appointment without their mom.
Oh, God.
I'm like, mom, will you make me a doctor's appointment?
Or they'll ask you certain questions and you're like, fuck, I don't know.
Hang on, I gotta call my mom.
But they're sort of like sirens of the land, it seems like. Because they lead travelers astray in the Welsh mountains. So they're, you know, somehow getting these travelers to follow them. They are gloomy spirits more akin to hags or witches, and they are distinct from the Welsh Eliljan, or elves, which are more benevolent. Those who encountered them either by night or on a misty day would be sure to lose their way, even if they were perfectly familiar with the road.
Follow me and I'll pay off your student debt.
We've been trying to contact you about your car's extended warranty. One Gwyll in particular was known as the Old Woman of the Mountain, who haunted Llanhiddel Mountain in Monmouthshire. And as the popular tradition in that district, she was the ghost of a woman who had been regarded in life as a witch. She's known to utter strange cries and shouts throughout the mountain in order to frighten wayfarers.
Is it a peacock or is it her laugh? You'll never know.
Strange cries, I'm telling you. The old woman has also been encountered on Black Mountain in Breconshire. One man reported meeting her there and at the same time found that he had lost his way. Thinking she was human, he called out for her to stay, but receiving no answer, he thought she was deaf. He tried to overtake her, but she led him further astray, always out of reach, until he found himself in a marsh. When she uttered a cackling laugh, he suspected that she might be a Gwyll, so he drew his knife, whereupon the old woman vanished. His suspicions were confirmed, for it was well known that Welsh ghosts and fairies were afraid of knives and could be banished by them.
Huh.
So just carry a knife, y'all.
Yeah.
The exorcism by knife, according to Sykes, is a popular Welsh tradition. Or a particularly Welsh tradition, not a popular one, sorry. Just everybody be executing people by knife. Or exorcising. Exorcism?
I feel like this whole, like, chasing something but not being able to catch it is some weird reoccurring dream I've had.
Probably so.
It's like trying to punch someone in your dream, but then your arms turn to, like, noodles.
I just hate the one where you fall, and then you wake up before you hit the ground, but it's still just, like, that gut drop feeling of, whoa!
Yeah.
So, exorcism by knife is a particularly Welsh tradition, is what I was trying to say a moment ago. The Gwyllion often came into the houses of the people at the parish of Aberystruth, especially in stormy weather. She was always made welcome, not out of any sense of friendship, but out of fear of what she might do to them if she were offended. This bitch just comes strolling into your house, and you gotta act all nice to her because it could be trick or it could be treat.
You never know.
She was provided with clean water, and care was taken that no knife or any other cutting tool should be in the corner near the fire, where the fairies liked to sit. While it was desirable to exorcise them when in the open air, it was not prudent to display any inhospitable attitude towards any member of the fairy realm. Take that advice fucking well, shall you?
Don't fuck with the fae.
Don't do it. Another traveler encountered the Guilan at night in Bedwilty Mountain.
I read that as Bedwetty Mountain.
I did too. Bedwetting Mountain. There were several such spirits dancing fantastically around him. He also heard the sounds of a bugle horn and what seemed like invisible hunters riding by. Although he was afraid, he drew his knife and the fairies vanished. Sykes speculates that if these ideas are traced back to their source, that they may have some connection with the sword Excalibur and the role that it plays in the primeval world. Folklorist Catherine Briggs suggested that it may have to do with the traditional fairy vulnerability to cold iron. Alright, we've just got a few more here. Plenty Welsh mythology creatures for you. Alright, Lamhigan y Dwyer, a frog-bat-lizard hybrid.
I need a photo.
How cool is that? Yeah, we'll put pictures of them up on the Instagram for you guys. It is also known as Water Leaper. It is a malicious creature from Welsh mythology and folklore that live in swamps, ponds, rivers, and lakes. Maybe him and the Ivanc are friends.
Could be.
It was said to be a giant, limbless frog or toad with a bat's membranous wings, sometimes even a bird's feathery wings, and a long reptilian tail with a large stinger at the tip.
Okay, I'm looking at pictures, and this one's actually... I'm terrified of frogs, but this one's actually fucking cute.
He's kind of cute, right? It's the bat part that's cute.
Yeah.
It leapt across the water using its wings, hence its name, Water Leaper. Its favorite prey were fish, poor sheep who wandered too close to the water's edge, or even fishermen. It's said that its appearance alone was to strike one dead. Never mind its venomous stinger or blood-curdling screech. It was said to shriek, which stunned its prey, leap up from the water, and snap the fishing line of fishermen, dragging the poor soul into the water's abyss, only to be speedily engulfed by its malignant and insatiable maw. That means its mouth.
Okay, I was like, yeah, my maw likes to do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Not my maw.
My maw is insatiable. Me ma. We were just talking about that movie where Brad Pitt puts on that ridiculous accent. It's super funny. It's not for me. It's for me, ma. Right? Isn't that ridiculous?
It really is.
There have not been any modern sightings, so if it did exist, it might be endangered or extinct, possibly due to hunting.
Yeah.
Some people also speculate that it could have been misidentified as a stingray, or that it's a chimera, like part bat, frog, and lizard. Morgans, or water spirits, basically a siren or a mermaid. This one actually pairs with a Breton legend. In Brittany, the formation Mary Morgan, or Mary Morgan, is common. Sebelot compared the Mary Morgan to sirens, or sirenes. Sirenes. The French term for mermaids. Again, if you speak French, I'm very sorry. I apologize for my really poor pronunciation.
Sounded good to me.
And they lured sailors with their hypnotic voices and sat in the water to comb their hair seductively. So the next time you wake up and you go to the mirror, just comb your hair seductively.
The next haircut I get. I'm about to comb their hair.
Seductively. But you can see the old Disney animations, too, of mermaids sitting on rocks and being like, ooh, ah, and, like, at least running their fingers through their hair that way, if not brushing it that way.
Okay, and tell me why most girls want mermaid hair.
Yep. So, there you get it. Seductive hair brushing.
We've all been seduced, guys.
It's a conspiracy. Next episode of The Aldrich Estate. Hair is seductive.
Hashtag mermaids are real.
Mermaids are real. They were believed to live near coasts, at cave entrances, and at the mouth of rivers, which some held to still inhabit a cave near Crozon. The Mary Morgans, who were well-versed in evil spells, would drag young men underwater, and the men would never be seen again. In other versions, however, Mary Morgans carried kidnapped sailors to underwater palaces of mother-of-pearl and crystal and married them. The Morgans, eternally young, are also blamed for heavy flooding that destroys crops or villages. One example was the Princess Dahut, or Aes, who betrayed the city of Ys and caused it to flood, and as punishment was transformed into a Mary Morgan. Sibelot wrote that she was the progenitor of the mermaid race. In a parallel tradition from Ushant, an island off the coast of Brittany, are legends of beautiful water-dwelling little people known as the Morganed for males, or the Morganized for females. In one story, an ugly old Morgan king kidnapped a human girl to be his bride, but she fell in love with his handsome young son, who helped her escape. In another tale, the Morganed people helped the Virgin Mary with the infant Jesus and received the blessing of beauty, while in another, they habitually dried their golden treasures on the sunlit beach and might give some to humans.
Reminds me of Step Brothers, where he's like, she's already had the old bull. Now she wants to try the young calf.
Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of emphasis, once again, on ugly versus pretty.
Yeah.
Why does it always have to be about appearances with you cryptids people?
Why just, is nobody ugly and proud like SpongeBob?
Just appreciate them. I just want to be appreciated.
Hug a cryptid.
Plentyn Newydd, the Welsh take on the changeling creature. This one's creepy, just so you're aware. Obviously, these can be described as any number of things, but they were most often attributed to strange-looking children or older women. One girl was described as a, quote, living skeleton being about the size of a man's thumb.
Okay, why is that cute?
Like Thumbelina?
Yes, like a little skeleton Thumbelina.
When held up to the light, they could supposedly see all her, quote, living parts or organs. Other depictions are of a shrunken and dry old woman appearing more like a shriveled branch than a human.
Mm.
All of these are described as having a voracious appetite.
Oh, you're about to tell me they eat people, aren't Ooh, you?
That's all I got on them.
Okay. Well, hopefully they're eating, like, bananas. Not men.
You know, they're just going and getting, like, the big box from Taco Bell or whatever.
I hope so.
All right. This one, I think I did see a pronunciation that was, like, puka or puka. I know puka sounds like puke, but, like, literally that was one of the pronunciations. So I'm gonna go with puka, or puka. Puka. A shape-shifting animal spirit. Considered to be bringers both of good and bad fortune, they could help or hinder rural and marine communities. They have dark or white fur or hair. They were said to be shape-changers, which most often took the appearance of horses, goats, cats, dogs, rabbits, ravens, foxes, goats, or goblins.
Not pigs.
Sometimes humans. No matter what shape they take, their fur is almost always dark, and they commonly have the form of a sleek black horse with a flowing mane and luminescent golden eyes. And that's all I really had on them, too. I don't get, like, what they did or if, you know. It said they could be good or bad, so.
It sounds really pretty, honestly.
Yeah. And then we have the Tylwyth Teg, literally, the fair folk, the common name in Welsh for the fairy folk, inhabitants of the Otherworld. And I kind of stopped it there because we could do a whole episode on fairies or fae, and, yeah, there's just a lot to unpack there. But in Welsh, they are the Tylwyth Teg.
Don't fuck with the fae.
Don't do it. And that's it! So, like I said, this started out with research on the Evanc, and I wanted to get as much information on that as I could, and once I had done that, I wanted to give you a little more, so I found some more Welsh mythology stuff for you.
I dig it. That was fun.
Yeah, and doing cryptids from all around the world is something that we've talked about doing, too. So there you go. Welsh, check.
We did it.
And we can do more. I think Mexico would be a good place to visit for some cryptid stories. There's got to be something cool over in Russia. We're terrifying. That's what I really mean.
Yep.
Yeah. If you have an idea for a place that we should look into cryptids for, what should be our next cryptid geographic location? Email
Spin
us.
The globe.
At theeldritchestate@gmail.com. And that's it for this episode. Thank you, as always, for listening, and we will catch you in the next one. Work. Remember, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Bye.
Toodaloo.